Anyway.
Representative, Mr. Chairman, my understanding of the process is if the Ways and Means Committee approves the reclass, then it becomes part of the budget.
And the court is then in the, yeah, so then you might, there's any.
No, it's not. What you've done in the past is to, when the governor has recommended reclassifications without funding, you've instructed the agency that if they go ahead, in fact, you really haven't said, go ahead and do it. You've said, if you go ahead and reclass positions, we want you to identify the source of funding. Maybe you de facto agreed to do it, but the point is, if it comes out of S&S, you want to know about it for next biennium.
Yeah, but then they have the authority to do that.
They tend to do it, yeah.
They do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, they have the authority to reclass if they can find permanent funding at any point.
Even poor little starving tiny agencies will get a reclass, and by golly, they'll find a way to fund that.
Yeah, except though, the bad thing about that is, they reclass without funding, and then it's in the next year's budget without any action taken on it of any kind, and then the next year.
That's exactly right.
But, Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's precisely though why you've been asking them to identify the positions, the amount of the reclass, and the source of funding for the reclass, so that 2 years from now, you can go back and say, you get the reclass in the PIC system, the payroll system, but it's going to come out somewhere else, so that if there isn't a net gain from biennium to biennium, rolling forward.
Then there's that bill that the Ways and Means Committee introduced, said that they can't go off and do reclasses without coming to the e-board or to Ways and Means.
No, that's a bill.
It's like a good bill. Higher Ed, I think, needs it more than anyone.
I'm sure they do.
Mr. Chairman, we had another item too. What our original plan was to amend the appropriation bill for the workers' comp department and take out the words that say workers' comp department and insert department of insurance and finance and then change the dollar amounts. And in that bill, we had drafted an amendment that would give to the insurance division non-budgeted rate making authority. And I think it's Senate Bill 323. One of the provisions in that bill requires the insurance commissioner to hold hearings if an insurance company submits a rate filing. The commissioner, under certain situations, will hold a rate hearing. The cost of that rate hearing would be paid for by the insurance company. What we're requesting and what we believe the intention of Senate Bill 323 is that the company pays the cost of that hearing and the insurance division provides it. And costs such as if they had a pro tem hearing referee or travel or AG costs could be a non-budgeted expenditure paid for by that insurance company. And we would need an amendment to the appropriation bill to do that, to say that this would be a non-limited or non-budgeted expenditure. What we could do is give you maybe an estimated amount, but it isn't part of the budgeted expenditure limitation.
Why don't you give us an estimate?
Well, the problem of budgeting for it is we don't know the level of hearings that'll be asked for.
Well, but there's another way other than a non-limited item would be to budget it, and then if you ran into trouble, you could come to the emergency board and ask for an increase in limitation. It would be another way to handle it.
That would be another way to handle it.
Okay, now.
Mr. Chairman, one of the things we might want to do on this, it's uncomfortable to have a non-limited expenditure like this, what we could do is, I haven't had an opportunity to look at other agencies that have rate-making authority, and I could take a look at those and see what the process is for other agencies.
PUC.
Yeah, if those are non-limited expenditures or if they're budgeted expenditures, maybe that'd help you to reach a decision on this one.
That'd be helpful, thank you. Okay, now, there's a workers' comp bill. But the division or the department's bill somewhere, Senator Trost's committee?
under tab D, we have the workers' comp bill, and it's Senate Bill 5506, and we've prepared amendments to that bill that could be passed to give a budget to this new department.
Well, would be, yeah, but it would be for the division then.
If you amended 5506, it would be the budget for the new Department of Insurance and Finance.
Oh, no, we're not going to do that. I don't think. I think there ought to be probably one vote on the department with its budget. I think it gets pretty cumbersome to put two different bills out. Apply to the same concept, yeah. I think you're in trouble if you try that.
So, are you so, saying you'd make it part of the...
Yeah, we'd probably put the appropriation in 3381. I believe that was the discussion we had with the fiscal officer.
That's right, Mr. Chairman.
So, be aware of that if you wanted to make amendments to 5506. You probably want to. We'll probably get a number from the other subcommittee that we'll put in 3381.
We agree with you that it would be fine to put them in one bill. That wasn't our original direction, but
I think you can understand what I'm talking about. What it's a vote is what I would worry about. You could get people, oh, it's a great reorganization, and they'd vote for it, and then, oh, pay for it. Well, that would be a danger. Now, the other thing that we've talked about is to make sure there's no intermingling of monies. And we were thinking not only of amending the bill on page 5 of the printed bill, line 10, I think, no, I'm sorry, lines 15 and 16, we're going to delete those words to the greatest extent possible. Right?
Mr. Chairman.
Sir, yeah.
Then with that, maybe I should be asking Mr. Weeks a question. Then each function would have its own separate identifiable account. However, because of the potential for the cash flow problems and still be able to move the money around within the department, but it would still be dedicated funds that would have to be paid back with the interest to that dedicated account.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Senator Hatton, depending on the authority that you give them, you could establish separate funds, one for insurance, one for workers' comp. You could have a single fund with separate accounting mechanisms. Either of those options are open to you, and then the authority for the director to, for the purposes of resolving cash flow problems, move money back and forth with interest accruing to the donating or contributing program.
Would this be adequate language then that we have here with the, or would we have to specifically add something to that?
I think we need to establish different funds. We were thinking maybe three funds. Insurance, finance, workers' comp. Those are basically the three revenue sources, right?
And consolidated. Are you going to put them under finance?
I don't know.
To my way of thinking,
yeah.
If you have one fund, when you make your cash deposits, you deposit it into one bank account, one fund. It's by cost center that we keep all of the different expenditures separate. I believe that the funds can stay just as dedicated being in one cash account than if they're in different ones.
Well, but it's like having old bank accounts, right? If you have three different funds, it'd be like having three different bank accounts, and then you can control, well, just for me, we can control by signature there are other ways to control access in and out of funds. That's a little safer than mingling it all into one account where a whole bunch of people write checks from.
Mr. Chairman, I have the same. I have my own personal checking account, and then I have an estate account that I'm a trustee of. I mean, I don't put it all in one account and say, trust me.
Right.
I have to verify it at the end of each year and show an itemized list of what I spent my money for. And I think that's what we're here, is that we're concerned about each one having a separate accountability.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're looking for. You're looking for, you know, a little more freedom, and we're looking to control a little more. That's what's going on here most of the afternoon, right? And that's probably normal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sub 1 of 17 is creating
a fund. Yeah, it creates a fund. I thought maybe we'd maybe change that. Then we'd have different funds.
It's certainly cleaner, Mr. Chairman. It's easier to explain. You don't have to get into this discussion about sub-accounts and cash accounts and so on. And Mr. Brown's up here, so he must have something he wants to share with you on this topic.
Well, nothing constructive, probably.
Mr. Brown.
I would plead for one fund with separate account. The Workers' Compensation Department right now operates out of one fund with four or five distinct separate accounts within that. We call them reserves, but they're nothing more than separate accounts. The separate accounts create the same kind of guarantees on getting money in the right place and having accounting for it in the right place and making sure that that money collected for retroactive reserve assessments, for example, are used specifically for that purpose. And that can be verified by the Division of Audit, by any auditor, anyone that wants to check it. It's all handled cleanly, but it is one fund. We don't have three separate funds that we have to keep accounts of. We have one fund with separate accounts. Mm-hmm. And
that's exactly what we're talking about. One of the funds would be a workers' comp fund with the separate accounts like you described. Only there would be a different one for insurance, yep, and a different one for financial institutions.
Now, you're talking about three funds.
Yeah.
As I indicated, probably I'm not saying anything constructive, but I'm pleading for one fund.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Jerry, I think what you'd still wind up is one fund for workers' comp.
Yeah.
You would be able to make as many sub funds within that one account.
I think
what we were discussing was that we did not want an insurance company, as an example, paying for some activity in the insurance commissioner's office, then paying for something in the banking.
I understand the concern, and I think that we all have that concern.
Yeah.
All I'm suggesting is that one fund with separate accounts gives you the same assurance as three funds.
Well, but this wouldn't change how workers' comp would operate.
No,
there still was a worker comp.
No, which one, how one
IRA.
No. It was for the Department of Insurance and Finance that I speak, not for workers' comp. Okay.
Now, the question that arises, if we establish funds, and I have a strong feeling that's the direction we're headed, especially when I talk to co-chairs, very strong. Then we have to deal with the question of borrowing, where we have some funds that are broke or near broke. Now, how do we do that? We don't do interfund transfers, do we? Probably the funds will have to borrow from the treasurer.
I'm not sure that's necessary. I think, Mr. Chairman, counsel could probably help us on the kind of language we need, but we have borrowing from one fund to another that exists in other agencies throughout state government. As long as the language in the statute makes it clear that there's interest accruing on the borrowed funds.
Right.
That
so it all gets back to the right place.
Right.
Okay.
I might also add that's one of the things that the Secretary of State auditors would look at too. If you're borrowing from an interest-bearing fund, the principal and the interest is paid back, so that there's a safeguard.
So we'd authorize that kind of borrowing to give you the flexibility to manage this. Okay. Now, Mr. Whitwer.
Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Brown's here, you said that you have only one fund. The statutes talk about an administrative fund and an emergency fund. Do you not use the emergency fund? And
the emergency fund, I think, is a part of the administrative fund.
It's the check writing revolving.
It's a check writing revolving.
It's created as a separate, established as a separate fund. That's why I just wondered if it was.
But whether you transfer the money from.
I don't believe it is.
Okay, so just so that we can clarify this, if you had an administrative fund for workers' comp and a insurance fund and a financial institutions fund, and then you're also requesting a revolving fund, the revolving fund would be accessible to all of the elements within the organization and all the parts of the new department.
We want all of the units be able to use the revolving fund.
And who feeds the revolving fund?
Originally they would make a transfer from the single fund to the revolving fund. Now if you have three separate funds, presumably there'll be three deposits from each of those into the revolving fund. Is that right?
Well, the typical revolving fund is used for let's say an emergency expenditure of some type that one of the things we have authority to use it for is pay compensation benefits, for
right.
example.
Yeah.
Insurer goes broke, we pay compensation benefits. Under this system, if the revolving fund would be there to serve all three funds, if you had an expenditure that needed to be made from one of those three funds and you needed to make it immediately, you couldn't wait to draw a warrant. That's why you use the revolving fund. You'd make that expenditure from the revolving fund, and then you simply ask for a warrant to be drawn on the proper fund to reimburse the revolving fund. So all three funds are using the revolving fund as a resource.
Right. The question is, how does the money get into the revolving
exactly.
fund?
There's no money there.
Well, there has to be money there to draw a warrant on it.
No. Well, you draw the warrant before you make Okay.
Yeah, there's.
What in order to establish it?
No, you don't have to, but yeah, create a balance there. Yeah. And actual practice doesn't work that way.
So, how do we build this? That's why insurance companies, one of the many ways insurance companies make their money is they establish an account that they don't put very much money into. They're able to make money on the float by writing the warrant. Later depositing the money, being able to hold their money in their investment in an interest-bearing account for the maximum length of time. That's why it's cheaper for them. One of the many reasons it's cheaper for them to spend their money on avoiding making payments as long as possible, which is why there's so many, one of the many reasons there's so many lawyers, defense lawyers, and employees.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think wouldn't you just, I guess I'm directing this to mm-hmm. Joan, you'd have a deposit from each of your three separate funds into your revolving fund, and that would create your fund, and then you'd feed it from each of the funds depending on how they used it.
Perhaps what I would feel more comfortable with, if you wouldn't mind, is if we could go back and talk with the Executive Department Accounting Division and get some input from them. And perhaps from the auditors on
they're kind of start
like
with the
this.
Separate funds idea. Take that and then decide what, because you've got an administrative fund and an emergency fund that we talked about, I don't know what else, and a revolving fund. So whether you need that many more funds besides the three that we're graciously going to give you, I don't know. So that you should probably get some advice about.
Mr. Chairman, on page 5 it says there is created by transfer from the insurance and finance fund a revolving administrative account in the amount of $100,000. And under the scheme that you've described, you could simply change that language to indicate there is created by transfer from the
funds.
Workers' Compensation Division Administrative Fund, if that's one of the funds.
Right.
And that's the largest one, so that would be the one to use.
Okay.
Just substitute whatever one of those three funds you name is in there.
Got it. Now, I should ask you about that amount. It's a pretty large amount as compared to other agencies, but maybe you know why it should be $100,000 with your experience. Usually, we've seen them $10,000, $15,000.
25
is the injustice would be the highest one, so maybe there's some special reason here.
Well, I think that we have, on occasion, we refund to self-insured employers an excess deposit. On occasion, an insurer goes broke, we have to pay compensation benefit by cash out of this fund. And I think that it's for those reasons that that is...
You have experience where you've had to make a payment?
Had to make payments of compensation, workers' compensation benefits.
For an example?
If we ran into... so far, all we've had is small insurance companies go broke, so it hasn't taxed the $100,000. But I think the $100,000 is necessary.
Okay. No, if you keep track of it and all.
Yeah, and it's created by a transfer from the Workers' Compensation Division's money. It's not cash coming out of the general fund or something of that nature. Which some of them are.
Which some of them are,
yes.
Which the ones we were talking about, which we're trying to keep going. Okay.
Of course, Mr. Chairman, there's no general fund money in this at all.
I don't know. Is there any anywhere?
Not in this
room. Not here.
Nothing that I've been able to find.
Yeah, a little federal, saw that. Okay, what we'll do then is come back on Friday. Mr. Weeks will have some recommendations.
I'll be ready to talk with you about budgets for the insurance and financial institutions division, and then we can cover the cash, the accounts that you want, maybe run through the amendments to date that you have so far. And if you're agreeable, talk a little bit about limitations, programmatic or categorical limitations, mm-hmm. as opposed to single limitations, which is what's been proposed at this time.
Yeah, that's what we'll try to get through those kinds of decisions then, and that will basically close our discussions on this House Bill 3381, and then we'll wait for a number to put in on workers on the workers' comp side. That's what we'll do. Right, so pretty much we'll finish, and then we'll just have to hold that until Senator Trostep completes his work, and then it'll zoom out like that. Okay. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
Public Safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting, May 21st, 1987. 1:30 p.m. room H174.
The subcommittee on public safety and boats will come to order. So, Mr. Stinson, what do we do now?
Chairman, we have four bills. I don't know, but I believe most of the interest here might be in Senate Bill 554.
Well, let's do that. And we could release people. Is that correct, Mr. Don Heffner?
Maybe there are interest in all of them.
I believe there are at least one person here interested in that from D2.
Well, then, we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 554. With us is Paul Dunheffner, Director of the Marine Board, who is a proponent
Yes?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Paul Don Heffner, Director of Marine Board. Senate Bill 554 is companion legislation to Senate Bill 551. That bill has passed both houses. It prohibits the use of certain tributyl tin or TBT-based paints on boat hulls. TBT is an anti-fouling ingredient used in bottom paint. It's been found to have serious adverse environmental effects, both in this country and elsewhere. Senate Bill 554, was amended by the Senate Agricultural and Natural Resources Committee to reflect agency concerns over the mailing of a brochure to all boat owners, which was in the original bill. The amended bill requires a mailing to owners only of boats 20 feet and more in length, and it's a special one-time mailing, which we're required to carry out by April 15th of next year. We estimate the fiscal impact of that at $6,000. We have about almost 16,000, 15,700 registered boats 20 feet and more whose owners would need to be notified. The biggest part of that expense is in postage and printing. That's based on current rates. The agency will provide necessary personnel to develop and coordinate the brochure in cooperation with DEQ, and they've indicated as well their in their willingness to cooperate with us in preparing the brochure as directed. During consideration of the Marine Board's budget, the agency was invited to return to the Emergency Board for an expenditure limitation increase or general fund appropriation to carry out Senate Bill 554. There was some discussion of a general fund appropriation in lieu of an increase in other fund limitation because of the benefits of notifying people about this extend beyond boat owners to the general public. Given that direction, we don't believe that it's necessary to increase our limitation as a part of the bill, provided that it's understood that the fiscal impact will be adjusted later with the limitation increase for service and supplies to carry out the mission.
Can't you just eat it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we were to eat it, it would come from our existing safety and boating safety and education programs. We would prefer not to have to carve it out of those programs, which we also feel are quite important. The agency would have sufficient beginning balance or ending balance if limitation increase was provided in order to provide the revenue to fund that. But I would ask for a limitation increase so that we wouldn't have to eat it out of existing programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else want to testify on Senate Bill 554? No one. Thought there was someone from the DEQ? You are.
Is the DEQ going to survive, President Jones?
Some form.
In some form. Okay. Hi.
Hi. My name is Christina Wolniakowski. I'm with the Department of Environmental Quality and the Water Quality Division, and I just want to express my support for this bill. The department worked on the testimony for Senate Bill 551, investigated that, and encouraged that a public education program be retained in Senate Bill 554.
This is pretty bad stuff, right?
Yes, very bad.
Because Representative Hanneman's been talking about it most of the session.
Yes, it's toxic at a 20 parts per trillion level.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions about it?
Mr. Chairman, we've already passed the other enabling bill, is that correct? And that was the one that prevents it from being used or sold or?
Yes, Senate Bill 551 is basically prohibits the sale of TBT paints for boats less than 25 meters in length. And for boats over 25 meters in length, the anti-fouling paint can be used, but it's got to have a special formulation with low leaching rates so that the amount of paint that's actually leached off the boat in order to control the anti-fouling organisms leaches off at a rate that would be comparable to its degradation in the environment.
Okay.
So that's what the informational program would be conducting, and that would be through primarily the fisheries, what association or licensures, or how would you mail out? How do you know who these? It's estimated you're going to have to mail out $3,000 worth of cost to mail out to these people. How do you know who they are and where they're at? Are they all registered?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon. These are people that have their boats registered with the Marine Board, so it's a matter of going into our file, doing a computer sort, selecting those over 20 feet in length, and mailing a notice to those individuals. They're people with a registered boat.
Would this, Mr. Chairman, would this include other boats coming into Oregon that are not necessarily registered in Oregon as well? For instance, if a commercial fishing boat, say like from California, docked at Brookings, unloaded their catch in Brookings, but they're primarily based in California, how would they get notice of this?
We wouldn't be able to provide them notice through the mailing. The bill also directs us to make the brochure available to port district offices and marine supply places on the coast. So that's one possible source. Also, I think within the marine...